Hey there, Bernie Miklos back with you. And of course, this is the Bernie Miklos Show here on YouTube. My channel's doing well, and thanks to you. Thanks to you. Appreciate you all very much. Thanks for all the comments. I was in there yesterday for a good long time. I enjoyed it. Reminds me how much I like interacting with you, even if we disagree. It's 98% of the time, it's pretty cordial and very thoughtful. Thank you. Subscribe if you haven't. If you're, you know, checking us out, please hit the subscribe button. As I always like to say, you know, it's free of charge. Anyway, here's what I want to talk about today. You know, 2025 for the Cardinals, if I were to put a title on it, it would be let the kids play. Yeah, they're not in a full rebuilding. It's not anything close to a teardown. It's nothing at all like some of the situations we've seen in the past where teams just completely tank, just rip everything up, sentence themselves to losing 9,500, 105 games for like 3 years in a row, you know, 3.5 years, whatever, you know, where it's just bad. I mean, the whole bottom just falls out. Cardinals are nowhere near that, but it is a situation where they – really do want to take a look, a longer look, a harder and more extensive look at some of their younger players in 2025, or maybe a lot of their players that are a certain age group in 2025. And before I want to get into at least one particular area, because it's intriguing to me, and I'm talking about center field, and I wanted to just point out that, you know, the Cardinals actually, in a way, maybe not by design, but the Cardinals actually got started on this youth movement last season. And here's what I'm talking about. Pardon me when I look down to my notes. Last season, the Cardinals had, when I'm talking about position players now, they position players that were in their age 24 season or younger. And we are talking about Mason Winn, Nolan Gorman, Michael Ciani, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, Victor Scott, and at the end, Thomas Tejesi. Some of the pitchers, which are not included in the stats I'm about to give you, but they weren't quite as young on the pitching side. But, you know, Libitor was 24 years old. McGreevy was 23. Graceffo was 23 or 24. But in terms of those position players that I just read to you, so the Cardinals had 5.9, let's just call it 6 wins above replacement last season among players 24 or younger, talking about position players. That was really good. It was ranked 9th in the major leagues. And if you want to break it down by rookies, the Cardinals had the second highest wins above replacement by any team. Talking about position players, second highest, the only team that had more value out of rookies last year were the Milwaukee Brewers. And let's be honest here, of course, Mason Winn was responsible for much of that. So, but if you look at rookie players last year, I mean, in terms of games played by position players, and the Cardinals rookies were second in the majors, plate appearances, they were second. The stats weren't all that hot. They were kind of averages, although the batting average was the 12th best. Their OPS was 19th. But they also, I'm talking about rookie Cardinal position players last year, they were 5th in the majors in steals. They were tied for 8th in home runs. They scored the most runs of any team of rookies. And they had the number 5 RBI total. So, again, I think this actually got underway, maybe not by design, not by, well, here's the plan. We're going to play all these rookies in 2024. I think they were just going with the players that they thought would be best, or players that they had to play because of injury, center field being a good example, right? I don't think any of us expected to see Victor Scott open the season in the big leagues, or Michael Ciani to play as much as he did in center, but they went that way because they had to, because guys were hurt. They had all that trouble before the end of spring training, with Carlson getting hurt and Newt Barr getting hurt, and who else am I leaving anybody out? You know, they had to play Scott and Ciani, and Ciani in particular came through. So my point is the youth movement. I'm doing this a lot today. Stop it. The youth movement really got underway last season, but now it's going to go, we think, to a deeper level. And you will see more playing time. And, you know, first of all, how do we define young players? Like when I cast about, going on the internet and just reading some people and some comments made and this, but I'm not knocking anybody. I'm really not. I'm just making an observation. You know, when we talk about young players, Brendan Donovan shouldn't be on the list. All right. He's not a young player. Lars Nootbaar is not a young player, and they're not old. My point is they're not just guys that are breaking in that have little experience. Right. So let's be careful about throwing that away. Are they going to play the kids? Brendan Donovan's not a kid. Lars Nootbaar is not a kid. I could mention a couple of more guys, but you get my point. Burleson's kind of tweener. He's 25. And, you know, Lucan Baker is not a kid. He's 27. He'll be 28 next season. So I just wanted to make that point. And what are we talking about exactly when we refer to, quote, kid? There I go again. When we refer to, I'm in a goofy mood. It's good to be happy, though, right? Anyway, when we talk about kids, you know, what exactly are we talking about? All right, that's for you to ponder. I'm going to talk about the center field position. Now, the thing that's interesting to me, and the one thing about the big guy here, is I will always tell you, when I run my mouth about something, maybe it's off the cuff, maybe, you know, I got just, kind of a burr under my saddle about something. The one thing I will do is I will inspect my own opinion. In other words, I may say, well, I think they got to give Victor Scott every opportunity to win the center field job because, first of all, he is a young player. He's 23 now. He'll turn 24, I believe, in February, but he has very little major league experience, 53 games. Michael Ciani is older. He will be 25 at the start of the season and then turn 26 in July. And he's played a lot more baseball in the minors and the majors than has Victor Scott II. But I said something, I think, yesterday on the video, and I know I've said it on some of my appearances on Camo X, which I am proud to be reunited with, and I'm enjoying it very much. By the way, check out the Gas House Gang channel from Camo X, because every Monday, all four of us in the sports department, myself and Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly, we do about a 45-minute live stream beginning at noon Central Time. You'll be able to find it. And then it goes online everywhere, and it's on Camo X, all their social media accounts. So you can check that out. The rest of the week, it's two of us doing it each day, and we rotate. Like today's Thursday, I'll be doing it today, and I'll also be doing it tomorrow with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly. I forget which day is which for these gentlemen. Anyway, I appreciate you not minding me promoting that a little bit, because you get to see more. And it isn't just me talking. It's multiple people talking. You could probably use a break from just me talking, right? So anyway, the one thing I do is if I stake out a position, or I begin to stake out a position and kind of hit it hard a little bit, I'll say, well, wait a minute, let me call timeout on myself. Let me try to be fair here. I say this a lot of times. I always try to be fair, even if it means taking a second look at something in a way that may not reflect on me all that great. So what am I going to do? The insecure macho man, fake tough guy thing, and never admit, well, wait a minute. I probably went a little overboard on that. Let me take another look. Now, I'd rather get it right, or I'd rather at least present a more accurate picture rather than getting into this defense mode about, oh, I'm never wrong about anything. I'm never wrong. Please. Okay. When I hear somebody like that, that tells me they are as insecure as hell. And I don't know why. I've maybe my parents raised me right, but I would actually stand up and say, you know, I was wrong about that. I took a closer look. I was wrong about that. So you're saying, well, what the heck does this have to do with center field? Well, I've been on this little bit of a campaign saying, well, Victor Scott's got to be they better give him a chance to win that center field job because he has a lot of upside. And we saw some of it start to come to fruition really late in the season. You know, he was not ready for the major leagues. I thought he was maybe in spring training because he was so impressive. But no, he was not ready for the major leagues. And he, you know, he had the proverbial growing pains, pretty extreme growing pains. Went back down to the minors, played a lot more. He didn't really do that well at AAA Memphis. I think he was regrouping. I think some kids get sent down. I think there's a little bit of a dejection and they're down in the dumps and they kind of rally themselves. Everybody's wired different. I don't blame a young guy for getting, he had a major league opportunity and he failed it. And they're saying you got to go down to Memphis and play every day. But he started to play better down there the more he went on. And when he came back up, he played pretty well. And I'll give you a couple numbers on that here in a minute. And he and these are small sample numbers, which you could probably anticipate. But the reason I think Victor Scott's got so much upside is because once Ryan Ludwig, who's not a full-time instructor in the minor leagues, he's a part-time instructor, as we've mentioned a million times, the Cardinals did not have full-time instructors that would be, you know, with one team or move around the majors, move around the system consistently, and they're always there. You know, you got a catching instructor, you got a special pitching coach, you got an outfield instructor, you got an infield instructor, you got somebody handling the base running, and they're all over the network making sure that they're visible and present and they're there for the players. Cardinals didn't have that. That's one of the reasons why they're shaking things up in the minor leagues. And it's a reason why so many of these kids get to the major leagues and they're not prepared the way they should be pre-prepared. In other words, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be instant successes. But the more preparation and instruction where people who know what they're doing are working to improve the flaws of these players and to get them kind of in a much better way as they enter the major leagues, they have more of a chance of succeeding early in their careers. But if there are flaws that are left uncorrected, there are bad habits in terms of playing, you know, where you make the same mistakes over and over again, nobody, there's no instructor to say, no, let's talk about this. Let's meet out on the field, you know, 3 hours before Tuesday's game. And we're going to spend an hour working on this. They didn't have that, and it's a disgrace. So Victor Scott's problems, a lot of them were, you know, he's amazingly fast, but he took the wrong routes on fly balls, line drives. You know, you saw him take the wrong first step. That doesn't mean he's an idiot. It doesn't mean that he's terrible. It means that he needs to learn. And needing to learn as a young age that he was, you know, you need instructing, right? I mean, this is I get so mad about this because how could the Cardinals just let this happen? It set them back and it really did impact some young players. So anyway, Victor Scott gets a mulligan from me because that organization failed to get him ready as much as they could get him ready by making a maximum effort to get him ready. And he was probably too young anyway, but a guy that runs as well as Victor Scott does with the speed that he has. As soon as we saw him playing in the majors, you could say, well, wait, whoa, he takes, wow, that's a bad first step. Wow. That's that can be fixed. All you got to do is work with him. But that his routes to the baseball kind of shaky. Do we really expect the players to figure this out on their own and teach themselves and correct themselves? Some guys can, but generally speaking, that's the whole damn point of having the minor leagues. You get the instructing and the coaching. All right. So I give Victor Scott a mulligan, but what I do know is the guy is a tremendous base stealer. You know, even in the major leagues with the Cardinals, I think he stole 9 bases and got thrown out one time. Whatever it was, he only got thrown out one time. He did not hit as a Cardinal in the major leagues. He really didn't. But we're talking about a guy who had 244 minor league games, only about 1,100 plate appearances in the minors. Siani was much more experienced because, remember, he started off in the Cincinnati organization where I think they did have instructors and coaches trying to smooth out the flaws of these young guys, right? So Michael Ciani got a head start on Victor Scott, and Michael Ciani is also a year and a half older age-wise, but a lot more experience. I was looking at this earlier today, and because I think I like to be prepared with this stuff. If we add up minor league games and major league games, Ciani's got a nearly 1,200 more games than Victor Scott in professional baseball. I'm not counting the Arizona Fall League. Minor leagues, majors, nearly 1,200 more games. So, of course, that means Ciani is more advanced. Ciani has had more time to learn and more time to either correct his own flaws or have someone stop by every now and then in the Cardinals organization to take a look at him. So that's how I kind of frame this. Now, here's what you say. Well, where are you saying you had to take a deeper look at this? You had to take a stronger look than this. I do think Scott's got a lot of upside because we've also seen that he's got some sting in his bat. He has some sting in his bat. He's also hit 300 in the minor league, something Ciani has never done. I think Victor Scott's power is coming. And let me give you this stat. And again, small sample. I concede the point. It's a small sample. But with a young guy, you just want to see some evidence that he's starting to maybe figure some things out. So in his final 19 games of the season for the Cardinals, Victor Scott hit 311, and he had a 354 on-base percentage, and he had a 467 slugging percentage. He did strike out too many times, and his numbers were inflated by a pretty high batting average on balls in play. However, I'm not going to just write it off to that because he is fast. He gets out of the box quick. And I don't have the specifics, but I'm sure he legged out a couple, three, four hits too. So anyway, he did show improvement. Remember Mason Wynn and how overwhelmed and overmatched he seemed when he came up to the major leagues for the final month and a half, maybe 2 months. And you were like, wow, boy, does he have a long way to go. Well, he's a player as a hitter, especially, that knows how to self-correct. And he knew that, like, in his first month in the big leagues, he wasn't drawing any walks and he was swinging at everything. And he said, he went to Fangraphs. He did. And he looked it all up and he just said, wait a minute. No, I got to flip this the other way around. I got to take more walks and strike out less. And if you look at his first month compared to a second month, you can see that Mason Wynn diagnosed himself and absolutely made those corrections. That's why he's special. And he was outstanding as a rookie this year. He really was in a lot of ways outstanding. I just didn't like him batting leadoff. That's all. So, you know, I guess I'm a bad person. No, I'm only kidding. So I do think that in terms of speed, Ciani's plenty fast and Ciani's a good base stealer, but Victor Scott's kind of in a different realm. In 2023 at A and double A ball, he stole 94 bases in 108 attempts. That's about an 87% success rate. He's really good at this, and he was good at this at the majors last season too. He wasn't good at much else at first, but he could steal some bases. So my whole thing is, all right, let's see. Here's a young guy that's got tremendous upside. He'd be the best base stealer and the most capable and the most prolific base stealer you have in your organization. And you can see after Ryan Lutwick moved with him and suggested that toe tap to get into better rhythm in his swing, he started to hit for some power. He started to show some power. So he does have some power upside as well. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, listen, he's a year and a half younger than Ciani. He's a lot less experienced than Ciani. And so he's got more upside than Ciani. So you better just turn Victor Scott loose. You better give him every opportunity to win that starting center field job. Now, that's where I call timeout on me, because I admit sometimes my attention span, I research everything. I watch everything. I'm always double checking to what I see or perceive. That's supported by facts. It's supported by information. And it isn't just me bloviating, right? But I do bloviate sometimes because we always do. Like I said, if you're expecting perfection here in this little corner, you definitely have come to the wrong place. And I'm very happy to admit that. I get things wrong. However, my view of Ciani was really tainted, if you will, by the fact that he had that strained oblique injury, I believe, in the August 3rd game or the August 2nd game in Cincinnati, and he was on the IL for a month, basically a month. And when he came back, he had been making really good progress at the plate, Ciani. But when he came back, it was terrible. It wasn't that he's terrible. It's just that, you know, he's in a groove. He was hitting for average. I'll give you the numbers on that in a minute. He was doing so many things well. And, of course, he plays extraordinary defense. He really, truly does. Victor Scott will play high-level defense, too, as soon as they get him some coaching. To give him better footwork and better jumps and better routes when he's pursuing balls in the air. But anyway, you know, when Ciani came back from that injury, it was bleak. He just basically, you know, did not hit. I don't know how else to put it. When he came back after that injury, basically this is the final full month. He was 8-for-64. It's a 125 batting average. He had a 384 OPS. But upon further review, and this is why I go back and double check things, upon further review, he deserves a mulligan for that. Well, why does he deserve a mulligan for that? Because, and this is where I am mad at myself, actually, because when I was writing, this is before the YouTube channel, when I was writing columns for ScoopsNetwork.com, still am, and you can check that out, ScoopsNetwork.com, I was all over the fact that Ciani was making really terrific progress as a hitter. In fact, I was frustrated that it wasn't getting enough attention. I think that there was a view that, oh man, great glove guy. He can run, really good guy to have on your team, defensive replacement. He can start anywhere. You know, he'll save runs for your pitchers, not going to hit, blah, 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 blah. And the thing of it is, he started to hit, and he actually started to hit better than we remember, or some of us remember. And I was aware of this, but for some reason, again, I just kind of like, even though I was championing the guy, the fact that, no, wait a minute here. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's starting to put up some numbers here. The fact when he came back up, he didn't hit. I kind of let that change my perception, which is stupid. It was wrong to do that, because the improvement he showed offensively was very real. And I feel really dumb because I was hollering about the fact that not enough people in the media were actually giving it limelight. They were not putting the spotlight on it. They were not saying, wait a minute, here is what Ciani's been doing over the last 6 weeks or whatever. So let me give you some of that, if I may, because you say, well, maybe you're being too hard on yourself, Mikklas. No, I'm not. I deserve to punch myself in the face, metaphorically speaking. So let me get to this here. All right, before he got hurt, right? The final 37 games before he went on the IL, it has nothing to do with what happened after he came back. We're talking about 37 games before he suffered the injury at Cincinnati that day, from June 17th through August the 3rd, okay? Michael Ciani, and again, small sample, but still, you see him getting better every day, and that's all you can really go on. Do you see improvement or not? He definitely improved, small sample or not. This is over a month of ball games, well over a month of ball games. So, you know, that's something you can measure, noting that it's a small sample, but you can still measure it in a way where you say, he definitely is getting better. He's figured something out. Maybe it's just confidence and experience. Anyways, Ciani, 37 games before he got hurt. It really impressive. He hit .323. He had a .362 on base percentage because he started to take more walks. He slugged over .400. You know, he slugged .414. And, you know, this doesn't make him Aaron Judge, but Michael Ciani all of a sudden is hitting over .300. His on base percentage is very good, and he's getting enough doubles, couple homers here and there. He had some triples to where he pushed his slugging percentage over .400 during that time, and his OPS was 776. And this is a 107 plate appearances, and he also stole 7 out of 8 bases, 7 attempts, 8 attempts, 7 steals. So from during that time, from June the 17th through August the 3rd, Michael Ciani, among Cardinals who had 100 plate appearances, Michael Ciani led the Cardinals in wins above replacement because of his defense, speed, and improved offense. He led the Cardinals with a WRC plus. That's weighted runs created plus. All you need to know is 100 is league average. He was 20% above league average during that time. That was the best among Cardinals during that time. Small sample or not, that's impressive. His batting average, number one on the Cardinals during that time. His on-base percentage, number one on the team during that stretch. Slugging percentage was fifth. His OPS was fourth. This is a really good offensive profile. Now, he's going to have to show when he gets a chance to play this year that that wasn't just a hot streak and that it's something that he can sustain and it can last. But my point is that Ciani, especially given his precious defense, and his defense was outstanding last season, one of the best center fielders defensively in the game. He might have won a gold glove or at least got to the podium, so to speak, if he had not gotten hurt, because he would have racked up more defensive runs saved, more outs above average, higher, would have had more fielding run value, whatever that's called, FRV, fielding run value. He would have been able to jack all those things up. But the injury set him back offensively, and then, you know, his defense didn't stall or anything. He just didn't have a chance to build more numbers that it would point out just how great he was out there. And by the way, Victor Scott gets a bad rap even for the bad route taking and everything else. But I was looking at Victor Scott. If we go by fielding run value, he was on the plus side. And again, we're only talking 53 games. He was a plus two. And outs above average, he was a plus three. Ciani was much better. Don't get me wrong. But Ciani also played a lot more. But Scott was a above average center fielder. But he could be way above average if they get the footwork and the path taking squared away. So my point is this. I still believe Victor Scott should be given. It's a chance, by the way, that they – well, it's a shame that they both hit left-handed, even though the Cardinals take on mostly right-handed starting pitchers, over 70%, between 70, 73, 75% each year. In recent seasons, right-handed pitchers are out there a lot more than lefties. So in a way, that's good. But my point is you could have like a real good platoon situation if one of the guys hit right-handed, okay? So my point is that I wasn't being fair to Ciani when I was saying, oh, you got to play Victor Scott because this is about playing the kids. Well, he's a kid. Ciani's young, but he's not a kid per se. He'll be 26 in July. Scott's got more upside. I still think that he does, but that's not fair to Ciani. And I believe and I try hard. I fail at times, but I almost always at least try to be fair. And usually I have a guilty conscience or something when I'm not being fair because something's telling me, well, go take a look at that again. And that's what I try to do. Ciani's offense was a really pleasant surprise once he started to play all the time. A really pleasant surprise. And he was getting better and better and better. And that should be noted. And that should be praised. And that should get positive attention. And that should also be viewed with respect. So when I talk about the center field job, and I know Ali Marmol plans to have a competition, I just get the idea they're determined to give the job to Ciani. And Derek Gould, the great Derek Gould at Post-Dispatch STL Today, in his chat recently said that. They want Ciani to be their center fielder. You know, he starts out as the guy to beat. Okay. My point, I keep saying my point. My thing is this. If you're billing this as let the young kids play in 2025, all right, well, don't you sort of have to, I don't know, follow through with that? And if you, in effect, have your mind made up months before you even go into spring training, is this really going to be a competition? See, I've made amends as far as going back and making sure I'm being fair to Ciani here, right? I feel like I owe it to everybody, including him, but also to you, to check myself on certain things. And some of you check me, which I appreciate when you think I've missed something or I'm not taking something in consideration. Many thanks to you, sincerely. But I still have a problem with this, because if this is not really going to be a competition and you sort of have it made up in your heart and your mind that Siani's going to be the guy, that's disappointing, because this should be a situation where any young player in that camp that's got talent and upside, they should be given a fair chance to win the job or to win a lot of playing time. If, you know, every manager I've ever covered, just about, I don't think Tony La Russa was this guy. I think Tony La Russa was not this guy, actually. Tony La Russa knew what he liked and he knew what he had, and he had it. He, in his mind, he had the lineup and the bench and how he's going to use every. He had that lined up in the offseason because he had more veteran team. But every manager I've ever covered, they fib as they go into spring training. You know, they fib about, oh, no, wide open competition. You know, we're going to have competition in center field. That job's up for grabs. And everybody's writing it down. Oh, yeah, oh, open competition. Ooh, we're going to full-on competition. Except when it's not, we should recognize it for such. Now, I'm not saying it won't actually turn into a full-fledged competition. It might. And that's up to Victor Scott. If he gets a fair shake in the competition, it's up to him to show that he earns more playing time. He's got to prove it. And the only way you prove it, even though spring training is not ideal for, because, you know, among other things, you got media in spring training, you know, some guy, his first couple weeks in camp or whatever, you know, is hitting like 411. And you would think the guy was the next Tris Speaker or Mickey Mantle or something. People just go bananas. And a lot of times it's very misleading. It's kind of like fool's gold because it's spring training. That said, you still want to see a guy gain traction and have a positive spring training. But if they're billboarding this as the year of the kids, open competition, you got to own up to that. You got to follow through on that. You got to back that up. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on a lot of this stuff, who's actually getting a fair shake in a competition and what things have already been predetermined. See, that's my objection. It isn't that Siani would be the center fielder if they believe fairly and without bias that that's the way to go, because Siani's a wonderful center fielder. He's fast on the base pass. He was starting to develop the ability to walk more and hit for average. Batting average of balls in play probably had something to do with that. But listen, Siani just got better, period. And so he deserves that respect and he deserves that acknowledgement. Just don't tell me or tell you that there's an open competition when there's not. That's all I'm saying. That's my objection in advance. All right, I'm going to stop right now. I appreciate you all very much. It was fun doing this because it prompted me to go back and double check my own stuff to make sure I was being fair and accurate and telling the whole story. So I think I've done that, and I'm glad that I did it, even if some people will say, oh, look at Bernie, screwed up again. Now, hey, man, when Bernie screws up, Bernie's the first one to go back and check and say, I didn't get that right. I didn't get that all the way right. I got this part wrong. I got that part wrong. You never have to doubt me doing that. If that means I lose credibility with you, well, that's your call. I would hope that actually it would earn me more credibility, because I'm not one of these fake tough guy macho men who will never, under any circumstances, admit they were wrong about anything. Nah, that ain't me. Bernie Sr. and Betty Lee raised me better than that. All right, y'all be good. We'll be back tomorrow morning with another Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube.